This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, may His blessings, may His safety be upon you all. Taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yet another night in our blessed month and the worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed upon us to complete during this night. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it in full, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in the days and nights that remain in our blessed month. Alhamdulillah, there's much left to go, but subhanallah, we cannot turn a blind eye in terms of how much subhanallah has already passed so quickly. Before we know it, we will be experiencing the seventh night. Before we know it, subhanallah, especially with the work week that we experience living as Muslim minorities, especially in the West. Subhanallah, once the week begins, it's literally weekend to weekend. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah, and this is a good segue, because inshaAllah, today we will speak about barakah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I guess welcome to another episode in our series Surah Yusuf in the 21st century. Yesterday, we spoke about Makki surahs or Makkan surahs and Madani surahs or Madinan surahs and the differences between them and the fact that Surah Yusuf is a Makkan surah. And we also discussed the lessons that we can extract from these surahs and these categorizations in the 21st century. Who can share with us at least two lessons, mashallah? I think you look like you were paying, mashallah, attention yesterday. So you can share with us two benefits from the Makkan versus Madani chapter or surah discussion that we can implement immediately in our lives today as Muslims living in the 21st century.
The Meccan ones are like striking, the Medina ones rules and longer ayats.
That's true. That's in terms of the difference. But in terms of the benefit, what benefit did we derive from this knowledge that assists us in our daily interactions today?
The Meccan is the period of Darul Kufur. Then during the Meccan period, Muslim were minority.
Okay.
They were living in minority in Mecca.
And what does that mean in terms of Surah Yusuf, in terms of it being a Meccan surah, in terms of the characteristics of Meccan surahs, in terms of the lessons we just deduced from it and us living today? I shared with you a few. I'm just looking for two, or at least the two main ones.
Focus was on Iman, building the strength of the...
Prioritization. Very good. So prioritization when we engage the wider ummah about matters of Islam, and also prioritization when we engage the ummah as interdependent Muslims, right? When we address each other, people's religiosity, people's faith levels are at different levels, and when we try and build people up as we are an ummah of da'wah, we should be sure to focus on the most important things and then from there build our da'wah with others. We shouldn't pour everything on them and burn people out, but rather we should burn people in, just like the Quran grew people's iman and developed them to a level whereby when the Quran then said this is halal and this is haram, people were ready to accept this. So prioritization is one standout lesson from the whole Meccan versus Madani discussion. And I guess you've also shared the second point, which is appropriating our style. Brother Munir highlighted this, appropriating our style when we talk to people, speaking to them upon a level that is comprehensible, that allows them to comprehend what we're saying, allows them to appreciate what we're saying. We don't speak in a way that offends somebody. We don't speak in a way that makes somebody feel that they're being scolded, for example. And even to the closest people around us, our children, our families, they also are part and parcel of our da'wah portfolio. And we shared an example, right, that you can't speak to a 14-year-old as you'd speak to a 7-year-old, or a 21-year-old as you speak to a 14-year-old. And being busy and being tired shouldn't be an excuse, cannot be an excuse. So subhanAllah, in some abstract theoretical discussion about the Quran, we deduced pertinent lessons for us today. Now, one of the questions, and this is a common question with this discussion, because when I shared with you this whole idea of the Meccan revelation and the characteristics of the Meccan revelation and the Medinan revelation and the characteristics of the Medinan revelation, I said to you, these are general principles, they are exceptions, and from them Surah Yusuf. And one question was, are there any other exceptions? And the answer is yes. We have Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am was revealed, believe it or not, many people may not deduce this from reading the surah and looking at the length of the verses, for example. Surah Al-An'am is a Meccan surah. It was revealed before Hijrah, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina. And some scholars have said it's Meccan aside of a handful of verses, as Imam Suyuti and others mentioned, but in general, this is a Meccan surah. And the scholars of tafsir highlight that this surah in its entirety came down in one chunk, subhanallah. And countless angels, subhanallah, brought the surah down, because such is the weight of the ayat and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you read Surah Al-An'am, you see that the verses are longer. So this goes against the general principle that we shared. However, if you look at the content of Surah Al-An'am, you see that the content of Surah Al-An'am matches what we discussed yesterday in terms of the principles of the Meccan revelation, that they focus on Tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They focus on establishing the messenger as the messenger sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They focus on what else? Belief in the hereafter. You see Surah Al-An'am filled with lessons and evidences and a strong discourse with the Quraysh and the disbelievers about these realities, and also morality, good character. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala releasing, we said halal and haram is a main kind of feature of the Medinan revelation, but that's a general principle as well. We do have some halal and haram revealed in the Meccan revelation, and we see this in Surah Al-An'am pertaining to the animals, the domesticated animals. Why? Because the Quraysh associated these animals with shirk and slaughtering them for the idols, and having particular views about them, about what is permissible to consume and what isn't permissible to consume. So this is all connected to idolatry and shirk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this here. And again, this is from the eloquence of the Quran, the beauty of the Quran, the ijaz, the miraculous nature of the Quran, that it has these general principles. And even when there's exceptions, subhanallah, there are exceptions that complement the general principle. It doesn't come across as fawda. It doesn't come across as confusing, as unprepared. You can see the Quran is measured, the Quran is scheduled, subhanallah. And this is from the miraculous nature of the Quran. All these realities are part and parcel of the challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to mankind, that if you believe that this Quran isn't from Allah, then produce something like it, or produce a surah like it, or produce an ayah like it. And this challenge hasn't been met by mankind today, because even a verse in light of the whole Quran has characteristics, has realities, has functions, has benefits, has wisdoms, subhanallah, which makes the challenge so hard to meet. And indeed it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, today, for today's session, we move on to the next step. Whenever we read a surah in the surahs of the Quran, we begin that surah with the basmala. The basmala is an Arabic term, and it is the title of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Many people don't know this, but such is the Arabic language. The Arabic language can give a name to a phrase. Give a name to a phrase. For example, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What is this called in Arabic? It's called the hawqala. Hawqala. Hayya ala as-salah. Hayya ala al-falah. It's called the hayya ala. When you read the books of fiqh, and they discussed the adhan, they mentioned the hayya ala. What is the hayya ala? Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al falah. This is from the beauty and depth of the Arabic language. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is known as the Basmalah. With regards to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, some theory first and foremost. Let's get the theory out of the way, then we can go into the practicalities. What does this mean for us as Muslims today? When the scholars discuss this, we can take the questions thereafter, inshallah. You have some questions?
Before entering, I just wanted to...
Let's take the questions thereafter so that we don't break the chain of instruction. When the scholars talk about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the Quran, one of the discussions they have is it a verse from the verses of the Quran? Is it a verse from the verses of the Quran? And there's several views about this. For the purposes of our sitting, the closest view, when looking at the collective evidences together, entails that Basmala is a verse from the verses of the Quran. However, it is an independent verse, independent of the surah that comes thereafter. It is a verse from the verses of the Quran. However, it is independent of the verses that come thereafter. So if you ever count how many verses in a surah, you will notice they count the verses of the surah excluding Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But this doesn't mean that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim isn't a verse from the verses of the Quran. And this is a pertinent discussion because we know when we read the Quran, for every letter that we read, Allah gives us a hasanah. And a hasana is equal to 10 rewards, which means when you read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you are getting a hasana, 10 rewards for every letter in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this is the theoretical discussion pertaining to Bismillah and the surahs thereafter. And it's a connected discussion because we are in a Quran related discussion. But what is the function of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? The function of the Basmala, what is the function of the Basmala? And when we look at the collective evidences in Islam, we see there's al-urf al-shar'i, there's al-urf al-islami, there's a normative reality, an Islamic normative reality when it comes to the Basmala, and that is, it is a means of seeking blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say Bismillah and begin something in the name of Allah, we are seeking blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So before we eat, the sunnah teaches us to say Bismillah. And before we do anything, the sunnah teaches us to say Bismillah. Anything which is of course halal and productive, we say Bismillah. This ba here in Bismillah is known as ba'ul isti'anah, the ba of seeking assistance. So you're seeking assistance from Allah, meaning you're seeking blessings from Allah in that which you are going to do. So as you recite the surah, you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless your recitation, to bless the rewards of your recitation, to bless your concentration when you read the surah and when you read the Quran. This is the function of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When you eat, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings in your food, that it is halal. Number one, that your earnings are halal to purchase this food. Number three, that you become full with a fewer morsels, because the morsels that you eat are blessed. When you eat a meal that is blessed, you become fuller with fewer morsels. And subhanAllah, once a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by the way, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this as an etiquette, from the etiquettes of eating, to say Bismillah. But also once a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I eat, but I don't become full. SubhanAllah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perhaps you eat alone. Eat in a jama'ah, eat in a group. And he acknowledged that he eats alone. And from this, the scholars deduced that from the means of barakah, when we eat, is to eat as a gathering, to eat together with company. And as such, we will become fuller quicker, because that meal in its totality is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And barakah is this secret reality, subhanAllah, between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His slave. It's not secret in terms of us feeling it, but it's secret in terms of explaining it. It's a gift, it's a hidden divine gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses whom He wills with, subhanAllah. Sometimes we go through days and we feel there's so much barakah in time. There's so many blessings in time, subhanAllah. We plan to do 10 things, and mashaAllah, tabarakAllah, by Salatul Asr, we've completed all 10 things. Allahu Akbar. But some days we plan to do 10 things, and Maghrib comes and we've only done 5 things. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What happened? Right? So this barakah is a secret. Every day is 24 hours. Every day is 24 hours, but some days, subhanAllah, we have a highly impactful day. We feel the barakah in time. Sometimes, subhanAllah, we go to the shop and we buy so much and we feel, our heart feels, subhanAllah, is this all it came to? Allahu Akbar. Right? But sometimes we go to the shop and we see the bill and we say, I bought so little and it's costing so much. Subhanallah. This is from those quote-unquote secrets between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His slave. So basmala is a means of seeking blessings, and we are in need of seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, especially in a time where barakah feels like it's been lifted. And we're living through a minor sign from the signs of Qiyamah. And we know this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from the minor signs of Qiyamah is this idea of yataqarabu zaman, the coming together of time. I mean, what does coming together of time mean? There's still 24 hours in a day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 24 hours in his day. It wasn't 20, 30, 35, 36, 42 hours when he was alive. It was 24 hours. It's 24 hours as well in our lifetime, right? But subhanAllah, this prophecy where he told us from the signs of Qiyamah, the minor signs of Qiyamah is the coming together of time. What did he mean? The scholars say he meant that barakah will be lifted off time, subhanAllah. That you live 24 hours, but it will feel like less. Sometimes 18 hours, sometimes 14 hours, sometimes 12 hours. I mean, I think all of us, when Ramadan came this year, we felt la ilaha illallah. We remember Eid from last year. It feels like just 3 months ago, subhanAllah. We remember what we were doing. We remember the whole discussion, is Eid on this day or is it not on this day? Are we doing local sighting or are we doing all those, you know, phenomenal discussions that happen every year? La ilaha illallah. It feels like 3 months ago. No, brother, it's not 3 months ago. Subhanallah, it's 1 year. 12 lunar months have expired. We're already in Ramadan. And like I said before, we know it, 7 days we'll be completing the seventh night. Today we finish the fifth juz. The seventh juz is round the corner. Before you know it, the first 10 of Ramadan are up. And what happens when the first 10 is up? You have your eye on the last 10. And when you have your eye on the last 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, subhanAllah, it just disappears. I mean, for me, I'm pondering over previous Ramadans. How did it go so quick? Subhanallah, ma laha, what's happening? Why is it going so quick? And as I ponder, I think, subhanallah, the second and 10 days went so quick because you're focusing on everything you need to do to free up yourself for the last 10 days. Then the last 10 days come and you're looking at the odd nights and sur'ana, ma tanqadi, these nights come and go, come and go. You're searching for Laylatul Qadr. Before you know it, it's the 27th. Before you know it, you're looking forward to Eid and Sadaqatul Fitr, and you know, family needs to do some shopping, there's some Eid preps, and Ramadan comes to an end. And the day of Eid comes, and subhanAllah, it comes and goes quicker than ever, subhanAllah. Before you know it, it's Maghrib time and Eid is over. And some people, what do? They have Eid for 1 week because they still have to fit in visiting that family member and that invite and so on and so forth. So they say this is Eid day two, Eid day three. You know, it's not really Eid day two and day three, but subhanAllah, this is how life has become. And we hear the stories of our grandparents on Eid day, how they would meet everybody, subhanAllah. It was Eid worth 3 days in 1 day, that they would pray the salah and they would meet the community and they would give the sadaqatul fitr beforehand, and they wouldn't give it in a rush. It would be done with khair and barakah and blessings and intention and feeling, subhanAllah. Such is the time that we live in. يَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ. So we take from this lesson of the basmala how we need to take the means of seeking barakah. And we've spoken about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and how it is a means of seeking barakah. We've spoken about eating together and how it is a means of barakah. And Bismillah, when we enter the home, is a means of barakah. When we eat, it's a means of barakah, and also maintaining family relations. And this is a good segue to mention this, because we spoke about the Eid day and meeting the family. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlights to us in a narration that scholars of hadith, many have considered it to be an acceptable narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever wishes for their lives to have barakah and their نعم. And their wealth to have barakah. من أحب أن يُنسأ له في رزقه. من أحب أي يُنسأ له في أجله. نعم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من أحب أن يُبسط له في رزقه وينسأ له في أجله فليصل رحمه. Subhanallah, هذا من الله سبحانه وتعالى. We forget sometimes, and then Allah reminds us. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever wishes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless his earnings, his rizq, and to bless his life, what should he do? He should maintain family relations. He should maintain the bonds of kinship. He should look after the sulat al-rahim. Subhanallah, that this is a means of having barakah in your wealth, and having barakah in your health, and having barakah in your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. The last point I want to discuss with you all for this evening, and inshallah we will extract a benefit, and it is from Surah Yusuf as well, is the opening of Surah Yusuf. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens Surah Yusuf with Alif, Lam, Ra. And these are letters from the Arabic language. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals them in this disjointed manner. And the scholars of tafsir have a long discussion about these disjointed letters in the Quran. Do they have a meaning? Don't they have a meaning? What is their function? And so on and so forth. And that is a discussion for another presentation. But nonetheless, there is always wisdom in the Quran and how the Quran has been revealed. And one of the benefits that have been deduced from the scholars of tafsir in this discussion of the disjointed letters in the Quran, and we have many, Alif Lam, Mim, we have Yasin, we have Taha. One of the deductions from this, subhanallah, is that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins a surah in this manner with these disjointed letters, you always find in the verse thereafter as a general principle. As a general principle, let's be true to the words of the scholars. As a general principle, you find in the verse thereafter a verse about the Quran. Subhanallah. Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ يَاسِين وَالْقُرْآنِ طَاهَا مَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى Alif Lam Ra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins Surah Yusuf with Alif Lam Ra, and immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the verses of the Qur'an. Al-Hakim, this differentiator between the truth and falsehood. So this is the first deduction. Now, or this is the deduction I wish to share. There's many deductions that we find from the scholars of tafsir pertaining to this. As I said, it's part of a longer discussion. But what is true, and this is through observation, is when we find the surah beginning in this way, as a general rule, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning the Qur'an. Mentioning the Qur'an. And one of the benefits from this, and again this is in Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf begins in this way, and we are in the month of Qur'an, is for us to recognize that indeed this Qur'an huwa al-haq. Huwa al-haq, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. Huwa al-haq musaddiqan lima bayna yaday. Alright? This Qur'an is the truth. This Qur'an is the absolute truth. And this Qur'an also conforms to the truth that Allah revealed to previous prophets. The truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship, and the life of the hereafter, and so on and so forth. So this Qur'an is the haqq, and it is the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting these letters as letters that are part of the Arabic language. And the Qur'an is revealed in the Arabic language, بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ. Subhanallah, this Qur'an is revealed in the Arabic language. Remember, it was revealed in the Arabic language, but it's a universal book. But appropriately, it was revealed in the Arabic language, given the reality of the Arabic language, the depth of the Arabic language, the blessedness of the Arabic language, its propensity to stand the test of time, that the Arabic language will be a container to hold the laws of Allah. The container has to be solid. It cannot be a language that will die, as previous languages came and died, Latin as a common example. The Arabic language is hay, it's alive, it's preserved. The original Arabic is preserved today, subhanallah. That irrespective of the many dialects and the different variations and quote unquote the slang, the common mannerism of speaking the Arabic language that we find amongst the common Arab, subhanallah, the original Arabic is preserved. Allah chose this language. And also, the people that received this Qur'an, they spoke the Arabic language. The Qur'an was revealed in the middle of the desert between two civilizations to a people that the civilizations didn't care about. These Bedouin Arabs in the middle of the desert. They knew this was their language. They knew these letters were their letters, right? And the Qur'an is being revealed in truth. It's being revealed with no inferiority complex. This haqq is being revealed with no inferiority complex, as if there's a challenge here, that here are your letters, the letters of your alphabet, the letters of your language, and thereafter Allah highlights this Qur'an. Subhanallah. That this Qur'an is the haqq, and it is the truth, and there's no doubt in it. In Surah Al-Baqarah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. This is the book in which therein there is no doubt. Subhanallah. There's no inferiority complex. Allah reveals it and says there's no doubt. If you have a doubt, the problem is with you. It's not with the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And we see this in Surah Yusuf as well. Right? And remember yesterday we spoke about when Surah Yusuf was revealed. At a very difficult time. We spoke about this yesterday. Right, guys? We spoke about the time of revelation. At a very difficult time. And the Quraysh are trying to, they're trying to remove the fuel of Islam. That the light of Islam. لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ. They're trying to extinguish the light of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing this Quran in truth, and the surahs that come in truth. And here Surah Yusuf revealed to the Sahaba to ease their pain because of all the difficulties they were going through. And what difficulty the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through with the year of sorrow when Surah Yusuf was revealed. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes to them that this Quran is the haqq. This Quran is the haqq. And these Arabs who challenge it, the weakness is with them. The inferiority is with them. The complex is with them. It's not with this book. This book is la rayba fi. There's no doubt in it. It's not like the other books that you read. The other books written by men. The other books written by women. These books have doubts. These books have doubts. Somebody gives you their opinion. That opinion is open to being acceptable or unacceptable. But this Quran, la rayba fi, hudan lil muttaqin. It is a guide for the people of taqwa. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the verses of fasting, Allah says, hudan lil nas. This book is a guide for mankind at large. So this Quran is al-haqq al-mubin. It is the truth. It is the clear truth. It is a guide for the believers, and it is a guide for mankind. And Surah Yusuf opens with these disjointed letters, reminding us to the truthful nature of the Quran, the reality of the Quran, that it is indeed the haqq, that it is not a book with an inferiority complex, that it is, does not succumb itself to people's whims, to people's fancies, to people's cultures, to people's forefathers and their ways, because that's what the Quraysh were all about. They were being argumentative. They were talking about their family history. They were belittling the messenger. They laid a propaganda campaign on the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why would you lay a propaganda campaign on the personality of a person? Why would you try and character assassinate a person? The only time you character assassinate a person is when you want people to stop listening to his message. That's what you do. That by character assassinating a person, people will say this person is a mad person. What they say doesn't need our airtime. They tried it with Nuh alayhi salam. They tried it with the other Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. Allah reminds us from Surah Al-Baqarah and throughout the Quran, and then in different ways, in this way through the disjointed letters as well, that O believer, O servant of Allah, O child of Adam, hold steadfast to your iman. Don't let the pressures of society cause you to fall into doubt. Don't let the way of the people who want to spread fahsha and munkar, they want to spread immorality and that which Allah dislikes. Don't let these trends cause you to feel, subhanallah, inferior, cause you to feel weaker, cause you to feel that, you know what, I have to succumb, I have to change my ways, that they keep changing the goalposts, they keep moving it to the left, and I was in the middle. But every time they move it to the left, now I'm seen to be extreme on the right, so I need to move myself. I need to reposition myself. I need to replace myself. The Quran is saying, this is not who you are. O person of Iman. O servant of Allah. O reader of the Quran. Follow the truth. And be with the truth. And support the truth. And be patient with the truth. And you will be successful. And this is a message very early on in Surah Yusuf, revealed to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, who were sanctioned for several years. And then they witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hardship when he lost Khadija and Abu Talib as soon as he came out from there. And they witnessed what happened to him in Ta'if sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All this is happening. And Surah Yusuf is revealed with these disjointed letters carrying this message. And this Quran is revealed in Arabic. And to a people who speak Arabic, irrespective of what they do, this Quran is the haqq. The Quran doesn't feel shy. The Quran doesn't feel scared. The Quran comes down and says, Alif Lam Ra. Subhanallah. It's like, you know, sometimes when we speak to people and they say, well, are you speaking to me in my language? We'll spell it out for you. We will spell the letters of your language to you. We are speaking to you in your language. We know who we are. We know where we came from. We know what we believe in. We know, and we know that we know. We have no doubt about it. And if you want us to spell it for you, we'll give it to you letter for letter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals His book in words, in ayat, and even in letters. And we will stop here for today. This lesson for us to take home, inshallah, a message of us to calibrate our strength amidst everything around us, and ensure that we remain true to the Quran, the Kitab of Allah, the Book of Allah, the words of Allah that are indeed true. هذا والله أعلم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وجزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.